What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Northern Nerdcast. I am Brad, and joining me, as always, is Adam and Clayton. And we have a very special guest on, Katie O'Hagan, aka Mia Winters from Resident Evil 7 and Village. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for reaching out. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
my 53 subscribers will thank you.
We will make it 54.
Yes. That's perfect. Okay, so my daughter is, she's into video games right now, so she's too shy. Like, she's not here. She's out of town. It's a nice summer break right now for mom and dad. So, but she when I told her that you were coming on, like, she doesn't know anything about Resident Evil or anything, but she thought it was so cool to hear that the video game industry. Like, it's all, women have always played an important role, but it seems more so, like, you have a lot more female heroines and stuff. And she wanted to know, and I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but I mean, for a 10-year-old, it's a pretty important question. Like, do you have any advice for somebody who wants to get into that type of the industry?
Definitely. I always tell people the number one thing that I learned between motion capture and voice, because for Resident Evil, I was lucky enough to be able to do both. So I did not only the voice of Mia, but I also did her motion capture and her facial capture. So the only thing I wasn't was the actual model. So she doesn't look like me, but all the other stuff, it's all my quirks, all my tics. And because of that, I realized you just have to, if you're gonna do it, you gotta go all in. When you get that audition, you can't be shy. You can't be self-conscious. I mean, they might have you crawling on the ground. They might have you attacking the director with a knife. Like, there's so many crazy things that they might have you do. You just kind of have to forget who you are, everything, throw yourself into it. Like, you know, they talk about, like, you just go blank for a little bit. You just kind of become the character, and then they yell cut, and you can go back to your normal self, and it's all good. But yeah, you can't have the self-consciousness. That was the number one thing for me was, you know, especially with Mia, there was so much involved with her and so much craziness that I was like, all right, I can't be embarrassed by any of this. I know, like, I have a whole table of people watching my audition, but I have to ignore it. Like, I just can't be embarrassed. So on that side, there's that. On the other side, it's study. It's take classes, take workshops. If anything's available in your area, do it. Especially with voiceover, because voiceover, the world has grown so much with voiceover, with games, with animation, television, commercials, radio. There's, like, I didn't even realize the extent of what voiceover encompassed until I did this game and started seeing more of it. So going to classes, learning about what type of voiceover you want to do, what works well with your voice, and just learn about yourself, and then just practice at home. You know, get books, especially for kids. It's great to have storybooks and come up with different voices and read the storybooks to your parents in different voices to kind of start coming up with characters. And it really is, it's a great way to start to build your character. So then as you become an adult, as you start to get these things, somebody can say, like, okay, this character is like an evil witch. And you're like, ooh, I remember creating that character. Okay, now we have, like, the dragon boy. Okay, I can do that one. So you kind of just come up with these things from childhood, and it grows with you as an adult. So for kids, especially, like, for a 10-year-old, the best thing to do, get storybooks and just start playing with your parents with voices and practicing and really nailing the ones that you're like, ooh, I do this one really well. I want to work on it.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that she's also kind of into, like, She's not old enough for Dungeons and Dragons, but, like, I'm a huge nerd, and we've been playing this game called Starport. And okay. It's this kind of like storytelling game for children. And you're talking about self-consciousness. And if it's just the two of us playing, I would be a terrible voice actor. Like, I can't get into, like, oh, so you're gonna go to see this evil wizard, and I'll just use my normal voice, and she'll get upset.
So, I'm Brad, the evil wizard.
Exactly.
So evil.
That's exactly it. But so I have 2 weeks to create a scenario for her in this game, so when she comes back, she wants to play. So I'll work on that. But
I was like, work on your voice, surprise her, like all of a sudden get really into it, and just because there's something about it. Like, I just remember growing up, my dad would do stuff like that. And then now I have nieces and nephews. So whenever there's story time with Aunt Katie, they know they're going to get all these different voices.
So did you, like, so with Resident Evil 7, like, did you know that you were auditioning for that? Or was it kind of like a surprise that it was Project X or whatever? And then you're like, all right, well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I had no idea whatsoever that it was Resident Evil. I thought it was a cool little Japanese, it was a Japanese title, like they had created for it. And that's what I was auditioning for. And I just thought it was like a really cool Japanese video game. I didn't even think it was gonna be like a full video game. Cause I originally auditioned and just shot the kitchen demo. And they kind of put it out there like, okay, you know, we're just doing this and it might become a bigger game, we'll let you know. So I was like, okay. So I did the kitchen demo and then didn't hear anything for a few months. And then they hit me up going, hey, so yeah, we're going to do a full game. We want you to come in. So I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, when I auditioned, I had no idea. And I'm almost glad, because I think if I knew it was Resident Evil, I would have put more pressure on myself. And, you know, I might have ruined it by doing research, because Seven had nothing to do with all these other games.
Yeah.
So doing research actually probably would have put a damper on things.
Yeah, and I mean, without any of the returning characters like Chris and all of them, this could have been a totally different survival horror series. Like, and then as soon as you get the name Resident Evil attached to it, it's I would say it's probably the biggest survival horror franchise for not necessarily for movies, but for video games. I don't think there's one series that can top Resident Evil in terms of what they're known for.
It's definitely, when I realized earlier this year that they had their 25th anniversary, that kind of blew me away. Cause not only did it make me feel really old, because I remember when the first one came out, but I was like, it's been going on this long and it's still this strong. But I think a lot of that has to do with them kind of stepping back and revamping. So like when they brought Seven out, they were like, okay, we want to go back to our horror roots. We're going to bring in these new characters. And, you know, I think Seven had mixed reactions, because some people were like, it doesn't even feel like Resident Evil, because they didn't have the characters you were used to. But I also think that's good, because how are you going to last 25 years if you're only ever using the same exact characters?
Exactly.
So they just kind of, they keep growing this world. And I think personally, I think that's really smart, because I know I'm just now getting into playing a lot of these games, because I was like, okay, I'm in them. I should really learn how to play these things.
I can't believe I'm doing this to Ethan.
Oh my God. I feel so bad. I mean, I read that script and I thought for sure everyone was just going to hate my character. I was like, I hate her. She's horrible. What is going on?
Okay, well, I got to tell you, at the point where you get to make the choice between Mia and the other character, I didn't choose Mia.
Yeah. I honestly thought that would be most people's reaction.
I'm like, yeah, like there's a one point earlier in the game there where you stabbed a screwdriver into my hand and then cut said hand off with a chainsaw. Yeah, I was like, I don't think the counseling's really going to cut it for this. So it's like, no, choose me. No, I'm going to go with this.
Okay, you did put an axe through my neck, though. So let's be fair here. There's a little bit of back and forth.
Actually, yeah, and I guess at the very beginning of the game, you did tell me too. You're like, "Hey, stay away! Don't come here."
I did warn.
So I'm just going to say right off the bat. So I did the stupid thing and I started playing in VR.
Same with me.
So, oh, man. So this is how much of a chicken I am with this game. As soon as I went to the, going in the back roads, and then you see that guy just vanish, and I went to the house, as soon as I opened the door, I'm like, power off. No, I'm good. That's it. It's kind of weird, but I've got you on the show, and I know about the history of the games, and because, like, especially with 8, I have a lot of friends that have played through it and kind of like Avengers Endgamed it for me, where they told me everything. I was like, okay, well, I kind of got the gist of it, but I stopped playing. Actually, I stopped playing the series at 6 because I found 6 wasn't great, but I'm not talking about that. But yeah, I'm a chicken when it comes to these things. So that was my experience.
I at least made it to scaring the crap out of myself. I at least made it that far before I threw the remote control and fell to the ground and just started screaming, stop hitting me. And then I took the headset off. But I did start a Twitch account because I promised everyone my first stream is going to be 7 in VR, because I was like, everyone needs to witness the ridiculousness that happens with VR and myself. So
I actually opened up the pan there in the kitchen and like looked at stuff really close, and then opened the fridge and like looked at the like goo that hung from the door. And
did you go to the microwave?
No, I don't think so. I checked out like all the cool details, but unfortunately I suffer from motion sickness in VR, so I was like, this is so amazing.
Yeah, it's hard. I last about an hour. I can get through about an hour. I think if I'm sitting, I can get through maybe 2 hours. But it's trippy. I mean, at one point I took the headset off and I was facing my window and the TV was the other way. And I 100% thought I was still facing the TV.
Yeah.
You have no sense of reality. I have to put like a yoga mat on the ground so I at least know where to stay.
I keep my calves against my couch, actually, because then I always know that the TV is right in front of me.
Yeah. It's kind of fun though when you don't know which way is which.
Yeah, till you go to like turn your head or something and the wall is right there and you.
Yeah.
Which has happened.
You need the yoga mat or you need some sort of mat on the ground so your feet at least can feel the general area that's safe.
Well, if you had an Oculus Quest 2, you create your own boundary with the controller, so it's pretty sweet. And it's 100% wireless. There's no TV or anything needed. So
that is cool. Really nice. I have the PlayStation 4 VR. Yeah, so I do have the core, but it's still really fun. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going with that.
We'll see how far I get.
Do you know if there's plans on doing 8 in VR? Like because I know that they said VR on the 7, like it was included. So
they never told us, like with 7 from the first day, even though I didn't know I was working on Resident Evil 7, I knew it was being made for VR. So from like the first day, because the kitchen demo, we had to reshoot the scene multiple times in multiple ways because they kept trying to figure out, okay, in VR, what would be the scariest? So it'd be like, okay, my creature coming in from the front, from the side, from the top. Like there were all these different things. So we shot it a lot of different ways. And then when we went to actually shoot the game, it was the same thing. Todd, who plays Ethan, he is the player, but he is the camera. So when you're doing it in VR, like he always had to make sure that, you know, he's in this space keeping everything in frame. And then when we shot things, we had to be careful not to, you know, touch things a certain way that we would end up going through the couch or.
Yeah,
there were a lot of these technical aspects that we were have to, like we were told about, and then we'd have to kind of adjust our acting and on set for. So that was really interesting. So from the get-go, I knew we were doing VR stuff for 7. For 8, it was never brought up. And that very well could be because they learned so much in 7, they already knew, okay, this is how we would need to shoot it. Or it might be that they're not doing it. They never said. it'd be really cool if they did it because of the world they created with 8.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because
it is quite a world that 8 is in, but it's like, it's such a dark fairy tale. Like, it's just such a cool world. So I think it would be neat, but yeah, I have no idea. I don't know the technical aspects of all of it. They say you're still alive. We want you to come back. And I say, yes, that's about as far as I go.
Well, and especially with the, like, Clayton, have you played 8 at all?
I haven't had a chance to.
No
spoilers.
No spoilers, but like, I was checking in, like, before you came on, I was watching Dan Allen's video that he did with you, and like, where you had mentioned that for the first like half hour of the game, you thought that after that you thought you were out of it. So it was like, because you don't know, like, and everything in Resident Evil, nothing ever stays dead. So that's not a spoiler, Clayton.
No, I mean, there's twists and turns. Like, how many times have they killed characters and then all of a sudden somehow they're back in another game? Like,
yeah.
It's the world of Resident Evil. It is Resident Evil. But no, when I first got the script for 8, you know, same with 7, they just, usually you don't get a whole script. You get scenes, or you at least get the chunk of the script that you'll be working on. So with 7, I just got scenes. And then at one point when everybody was cast, we did a big table read, but it still was just like a handful of scenes that we were all reading together. And so you don't really get everything right away. You kind of are getting these bits and pieces as you go along. And that was the same with 8. So when I got my first scene, I was all excited. I started reading it. And then I literally got to the end where they're like, you know, and it was in the trailer. So Chris shoots Mia, like, she's dead. Like, it was in the trailer. And I read it and I was just like, my heart sank. I was like, oh, this sucks. It was just, I love the character and I love being a part of it. So I read that and I was so bummed out. And I was like, I wonder, you know, it sucks, but I wonder like what they're gonna do, like where the game's gonna go. So when I got to set that day, before we started shooting, I was just talking with Todd, my Ethan, and I was just like, yeah, I was so excited. I'm so bummed. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, you don't know, do you? And I was like, I don't know what. And he proceeded to tell me a little bit more about things that happened. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh my God, they just twist and twists and turns all the time.
I was a little bit surprised to see you on the ship there after I didn't choose you and I thought I left you at the homestead.
Exactly.
And then you just dropped out of a pipe and you're like, guess what? It's divorce time.
Yeah. Like, really? You're going to choose this one over me?
Yeah.
You got some talking to do.
Yeah.
Did you have anything, Adam? You were saying something.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, I'm sure, Katie, from your perspective, resolving 7 and then finally, like, okay, we're moving on. You know, we're gonna have family time, and now Ethan and I. Oh no, like
it was, because when the producers reached out, they said, you know, okay, you're still alive. We're bringing you back. Like, me and Ethan's story is going to continue, and I was like, oh my gosh. And they said, they're like, you know, you guys are married, you have a baby. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, after everything that happened in 7, this is gonna be amazing. And they said, they're like, we don't, you know, the script is still being worked on. We don't know how much or how little you'll be in it, but, you know, definitely coming back. So I was like, awesome. And yeah, then I got that scene and I was like, so luckily there was more to my story. So I was like, okay. I like that. So, and it was nice, like, seeing, you know, some of the actors in 7 came back for 8 in new characters. Mm-hmm. And then my Ethan, Todd Sole came back. Like, it was just, it was awesome to see everybody again and get to work with people and see people in new roles, which is really, really fun.
Yeah, that's gotta be weird. You see them as one person in one game and then they come back and they're somebody else.
Yeah. Like, totally different voice, different mannerisms. Like, it's great. It's great.
Yeah. did they modify your voice or anything for the parts where you were possessed crazy? Mia? Yeah, like, or is that all you?
That's me.
Really? Yeah,
that's wow. me. That's why, like, when I did Seven, our director, Naveed, he told me at one point, he's like, you got cast because of the noises you could make. Like, because of what came out of your mouth when you were trying to scare us. Like,
that must have been a hell of an audition tape, like when you were doing your actual audition.
It had to be. I would love to know if they have that. I mean, I had never auditioned for motion capture before. So I went into it thinking it was going to be like any audition. I'd be in a little room, stand in front of a camera, do some lines. I got there and we were on the full motion capture stage. I had, you know, a cute outfit on, did my hair and makeup, had little boot heels. And I literally came in and they're like, yeah, you're going to have to take those shoes off. I was like, okay. So I'm in socks and then I'm slipping on like the carpet. So I took those off. So I'm like barefoot and they're like, okay, so imagine it's dark and I'm sitting in a chair and you're going to start at this point and slowly get closer and closer to me, however you want to zigzag or whatever, and just have noises that keep getting scarier and closer and louder, like just basically scare me. So I was like, all right. So, I mean, I was crawling on the ground and just like that. It was a lot of zombie-esque noises along with like The Exorcist. Like those are the two things that I pull from for those voices. So yeah, it's just me like.
Oh boy.
Oh, no. It just keeps going and louder until it's like the big kill and scream and yeah. So
that's cool.
It was definitely a lot of fun. And then getting to do like the really guttural screams, like when she throws Ethan through a wall.
Through the wall? Yeah. I was gonna say, how did they mocap that for VR? Holy man. Let me just kick you through this wall.
I mean, it was so cool. It was like, I literally, you know, he was there and I had him with the hand and then we had the big shove and then the slow turn. And there was, I remember because Mia rips, you know, a piece of wood off the wall to come at him with. And yeah. So there was like a little pull with just this little, it was something that just had motion capture sensors on it.
Yeah.
And it was like sticking out of the pole. So that was there. And that's what I grabbed and like ripped off, cool. And, like came at him with. So you have to very much sort of use your imagination, which is kind of cool because it makes you feel like a kid. Like when you get to do motion capture, because the world isn't there, you know, like they're building it with blocks and sticks and PVC pipe. And you're having to imagine like, okay, I'm on the ship and I'm going here and I'm looking through this window. Like you create it in your head. So it really brings you back to being a little kid and, you know, building with building blocks like, oh yeah, this is my castle and here's who lives here. And so it's really cool in that sense is you have that sense of like, oh, playtime.
Yeah. I get to do this for a living.
That's yeah. This is my job. Like, yeah. Awesome.
So were there any serious on work, like on-site accidents? Like, I know you had mentioned you had to hit your head against the wall pretty hard and you overdid it at one point.
Yeah, that was the only, I know for me, that was the only oopsie moment. And it just had to do with my mic pack was on my front because when I fell, I was supposed to fall onto my back. So we were like, okay, it's uncomfortable to fall on the mic pack. So we'll move them all to the front. And we did that. And I think the first two takes, everything went fine. You know, I hit, I fell, everything was good. And the last take, I was like, okay, I'm really like, this is the last one. We're going to really get into it. And so, you know, I'm hitting myself against the wall. Now, granted, it's acting. So you're hitting, but it's like a fake hard hit. But the motion of flailing to the side for the last time, that motion just pulled the pack off because it was like Velcro. And so as I went, it pulled off and then it flew into my face with me as I hit. And then I fell to the ground and it's like dangling there. And I'm kind of like, yep, that just happened. And it just, it was one of those things. It was just like a little cut on the inside of my lip, but I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Now I'm embarrassed. Out of all the crazy things that I do in front of these people, this is what embarrasses me.
I'd be like, I taste real blood. Use that take.
Yeah, pretty much. And then like, I think a month later when we came back to shoot again, they were like, oh yeah, we got to redo that scene. I was like, oh no.
My mouth just healed.
Flashbacks of Vietnam.
Yeah, I was like, oh, curses.
So if you had to pick, I'm putting you on the spot here. If you had to pick a favorite of the two, seven or eight, which I'm sure you get asked that a lot too.
I do. It's really hard, mainly because the two are so different, especially for my character, especially for Mia. I was lucky enough that I played one character throughout two games, but even with that one character, she runs the gamut of emotions. Mm-hmm. Like in seven, you're getting crazy and normal. You're getting confused,
scared.
You even get a bit of a fight because Mia becomes the player towards the back half of the game. So you got so much in seven. And then in eight, it turns into, you know, she's very family oriented. She's not as selfish anymore. It's all about Ethan and Rose. You're getting so much more emotion from her. And it's a very tight knit family emotion that you didn't really see in seven. So I loved getting to do that. So that's why I have a hard time choosing between the two games. If I absolutely had to choose one, it would probably be seven because I got to chainsaw somebody's hand off. I mean, like, I got to do some pretty badass things in seven that Mia doesn't get to do in eight. You know, maybe if they gave her a weapon in eight, I would have a different thing, but she was a little bit sweeter and more emotional in eight, which as an actor is really cool, but getting to terrify people and fight with chainsaws and screwdrivers and all that jazz.
Yeah, because that happened pretty early in the game and I wasn't really ready for that. I was like, oh my God, they took my, like, you took my hand. And it was pretty brutal too, like just jam that screwdriver right in there. Like, wow, okay.
That was a fun one to shoot.
Yeah, but then there's the added confusion too. When you wake up, you're sitting at a dinner table with a bunch of weird methed out hillbillies and you look down and your hand has like been sewn back on. Yeah, it was messed up.
It looks like stapled.
Yeah. I know. And I was like, okay, so how is that going to come into play later? Like,
it does.
And then that becomes the ongoing theme where everyone's like, oh, look, he's missing his hand.
Poor Ethan. He's poor. Capcom hates Ethan's hands. That's yes, what we've all learned. Hands, fingers, they just don't like it at all.
At least they stapled it back on the right way, though, because that would have really sucked.
That would have been awkward if it was on backwards.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I was just going to say, his career as a pianist is gone now. I mean,
oh, definitely.
What can you do with that?
Yeah. He is now a lefty, 100%.
Yeah.
So, where do you see like the franchise going? Because again, I don't want to spoil anything for Clayton, but talking about female heroines in games, like, I mean, really, you can interpret the end of eight however you want, but I think the story is going to shift to somebody else, not necessarily out of the family, but it's gonna be a different person. So.
Yeah. It's so hard. That's probably one of the hardest questions because a lot of times, you know, Cap, we're not brought in until they're like done working it out and ready to shoot. Like that's when they finally reach out to be like, okay, you're still alive. We want you to come. We're shooting in a month or whatever. So a lot of people now are like, oh, so are you coming back for nine? Have you started working? I'm like, guys, eight just came out. Like,
yeah,
I have no idea. Like, you know, seven came out in 2017. It wasn't until mid 2019 that I got the call saying, hey, you're still alive. We want you to come back. And then I started shooting in 19 and 20 through COVID. You know, it might've come out earlier if it wasn't for COVID, who knows, but like, you know, we had to push through and figure out how to finish shooting it during that time. So, I mean, it's like, we definitely know nothing for a while. I know a lot of people think I lie when I say it, but I'm like, I wish I was hiding something from you.
But unfortunately, there's this little thing called a non-disclosure agreement. Yeah, so exactly. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't say anything.
No way. But I hope, I definitely hope, because Resident Evil does have a lot of really strong female characters. And so I definitely hope they go that route. Just from seeing what 7 and 8 went through, you were getting more and more of females being a little bit stronger, whether it be the villains or you know, the protagonists or antagonists. So I hope they keep going that way, because I think it could be really, really good for the franchise and really good for the future. And you just see so many more female gamers. You just see such a boost in women in gaming, which is kind of great. And so it would be nice to have, I see other games that have these female heroines doing very well, and I just hope Capcom takes that. And it feels like they are, but again, you just never know. They love the twists and turns, so you just never know.
No, I agree. I think the way they've been doing it, it's few and far between, especially in the Resident Evil franchise, that Capcom's really been using, like, per se, a female character. Like they say in comics, like the women in refrigerators, like it's just to push a story forward. And, yeah, you know, like, okay, now the man has something to do. Like, right, in this case, yeah, like it starts with Mia and the interruption. But I mean, it quickly, as the story goes, and Aiden, again, no spoilers, but we find that it's not everything is as it seems. And right, I think with 9, what would be interesting is, again, because it's unique that they can do the motion capture here, they can always even age up your character, yet you would, yeah, still be able to provide the voice and do all the acting and everything. So
I think that would be really, yeah, it would be really cool. And I laughed because some people are like, oh, would you be able to play really old? And I'm like, a lot of you guys don't know how old I really am. Like, my real age is probably closer to what Mia would be if she has a, you know, child, like an older child, you know, if, like when Rose grows up and stuff. So it's just, you know, you have baby Rose, and my assumption is, you know, me and Ethan, because they say they get married in 2011, so they've been married 10 years. So it's like, okay, let's say they got married in their 20s, they're probably in their mid 30s when they have a baby, you know, now it's probably what, mid 40s. So it's like the age and that aging. I was like, yeah, I was actually playing younger in 7 than my real age. Thank goodness for motion capture.
Yeah.
Well, if the internet's to be believed, I believe my birthday is also in May 4th of the same year as you.
Yeah,
I won't say it, but I believe we're pretty much the same age.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm an adult, kind of. It's like, I'm an adult who just bought a toy chainsaw to bring to conventions with me. Why not?
You got to grow down, that's for sure.
It's funny, I just bought a real chainsaw, actually.
Yeah, I'm not that adult. I don't trust myself with a real one.
I have the Resident Evil chainsaw here. I was going to ask you, they did the, I believe it was for 7, or maybe it was the 2 re-release. They did like the keyboard, Capcom did like the keyboard special edition controller. And with 4, they did this like chainsaw. What controller would you like to see for 8 if Capcom was to make one? Like Ethan's hand or something?
I think it would be his... hysterical if it was his hand. Like, I think that would be so funny to use, especially like if it vibrated, so when it got chopped off and stuff, it around, the hand just starts like twitching.
the DualSense controller for the PS5 is a hand.
Yes. That would be amazing.
Well, I know they came out with a special edition, but I don't know what was included with it, but that would be cool, is to see a hand.
They do have the collector set, because we did a big cast reunion because of COVID. We didn't really get a wrap party or anything. So we did kind of a cast Twitch live stream, and we had a cast party, and people who were involved in it, Capcom gave us, you know, different stuff to raffle off, which was really cool of them. And one of the things, the big prize, was the giant like collector's edition. And seeing what was in it, we were all just like, I want one. I mean, it was so cool. It had the game, it had like an art book, like with the storyboard art book. It had the Village of Shadows book, which I'm like, I want that so bad. It had like a Chris doll, like a Chris Redfield doll. It had a map of the world. There was so much cool stuff in it. And I was like, okay, I get why people collect these things. I get why people get these things. It was pretty amazing. None of us wanted to give it up.
And seven was what? Like the collector's edition was the mansion?
It was like the Baker Mansion was seven.
These collector's editions, man, they're great, but you quickly run out of space.
No doubt. That's a big house.
Oh, yeah. When you see the image of it, I was like, I mean, it's basically like as a kid, like, oh, I want a dollhouse. It's like the size of a dollhouse. I mean, this thing is massive.
And I'm pretty sure Barbie's in the Baker house.
Yeah. I'd be some messed up Barbies. I had brothers. So most of my Barbies were messed up anyway.
No heads.
Hair chopped off. Yeah. So they would have fit right in the Baker Mansion.
So I sent you that link. I'm gonna show you the image that my friend drew for you.
Oh yeah.
Because I had sent you the web page.
Zombie
portraits.com. Cool. So my friend Rob, just a backstory, he's a zombie artist. He doesn't just do zombies, like he does really amazing, like he took David Bowie, but it was all lines, like it's so it's line. Just this line picture. But so when he heard that you were coming on the show, he was like, I gotta do something. So I don't No, I don't have the original yet because he has to send it to me, but I don't know how well that will turn out, but
that's cool.
That is awesome. So cool.
Once I get the original, it's like when I had Agent 47 on, I sent it to him. It took a long time to get to Denmark, but he finally got it. But I'll definitely send it off to you. Can we get a shout out for him? Or however you want, but
I was like, the voice that matches that picture.
Whatever you want to do.
I like it. Rob, it's amazing the things that you do. It's just I don't know if you understand how special you are. Keep doing what you're doing. I want more zombies.
That's cool.
Awesome.
That's great. Yeah, so what I do is I edit that clip out and I'll send it to him, and then he's doing a compilation of all the shout outs that he gets from not just like from me but other people's channels and stuff, and then he makes a video of it. So I'll send that to him, but yeah, no, he'll like that for sure.
That's definitely good.
That kind of just doesn't make me want to play the game.
You should definitely play.
I mean that in a good way, though.
You definitely want to play, especially if you stopped after six because you were feeling meh. Like, I feel like seven brings it back to that original scare and horror, and then eight you get a nice mix of horror and shoot 'em up, so it's kind of like a
first person number four is what I was told. So
that's from what I've been hearing, people are like, okay, it kind of feels that vibe over there. So it was like you're getting a little bit of everything. Eight isn't as scary as seven.
Oh,
I think they mellowed it out a tiny bit.
Oh, no, there's still some real messed up stuff in that game, but it's not definitely. Like, it's not like in your face horror. All you need to know like is there's a deformed baby.
Oh God.
They're getting and
a deformed baby that tries to eat you. And that's all I'm gonna say.
It's so creepy. So creepy.
That's a little weird.
But so
very weird.
Like outside of Resident Evil, like what other projects are you working on that you can talk about? Or like, I obviously you're an actress as well, so you've been in shows and.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really cool. I've been out here 11 years, so just the buildup of different things is kind of cool with commercials. I've been really lucky. I've done a lot of special effects makeup, so you can't actually tell it's me in the commercials because I'm turned into a zombie or an alien or something crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's been really cool, an experience where, you know, I get to be turned into crazy creatures. So I've done that quite a few times with commercials and, you know, every once in a while, I guess I actually look like myself. So I did a couple of short films, quarantine and COVID put a damper on everything for a while. So things are just now coming back, starting to audition again, which is really nice. Starting to actually go to in-person auditions, which it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years since those have been happening. So that's been nice. And then, you know, little TV shows here and there, like you can randomly find me. And it's just kind of like it runs the gamut. So right now it's just getting back. I'm going back taking classes for stunt work and creature work to do more motion capture. So right now that's kind of my focus on top of auditioning. So the actual projects we can't talk about yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, like I said earlier, right now I'm focused on going back to classes, going back to workshops and working on everything. Cause taking that, you know, as much as the year and a half of the shutdown, as much as that put everything on a halt, you know, I tried to keep up with things, but when you're just not going to auditions, you kind of get rusty. So now that things are coming back, it's the big focus is okay, back to classes, back to working on things that I can go to, so I can like shake off all the rust and be ready to go for the next thing.
Well, you seem to be like, you have like nice high energy, like clearly like this is something that suits you. Now this, from what I've seen, this wasn't what you initially like had gone to school for, like what you initially wanted to do, correct?
Yeah, I didn't even know that motion capture was a thing. Like it never registered to me, because when I thought of video games, I thought of Atari, Nintendo. Beyond Nintendo, PlayStation 2, I think, was the only one I had, and it was like Lara Croft. So there wasn't really talking involved. It was pretty still basic. It still very, very much so felt like a Nintendo game. Like you're not getting talking, you're just going to points and the stuff pops up that you read and then on to the next thing. So in my mind, this wasn't even something that was an option. You know, I just knew I wanted to act. So I started in theater. I did an indie film in Chicago, and that opened me up to going, oh, I want to do film. I want to do TV and film. So then I came out to LA and started doing commercials and, you know, pursuing that aspect. And I did always have a dream of wanting to be a voice for a cartoon. Like I love Disney. So I was like, oh, it'd be so cool if someday I could do voice for cartoons. And I have lots of crazy voices that through childhood I worked on, and as an adult I still do. So I had that in the back of my head, but I didn't know how to do that. So I just stuck on the path that I understood, which was film, television. And then just through chance, I saw a casting call through one of the acting websites, and I was like, they're looking for a possessed woman. I can do that. Like, it literally was like, we're looking for, you know, Caucasian female, 5'7", around this weight to play a, you know, crazy possessed character. And I was like, I can do that. Submit. And I just submitted myself. I had no background in motion capture. It said it was for a video game, but I really didn't know what that meant. I didn't know, like, what that would entail until I got there and went to the audition and realized, oh, this is incredibly physical. Like, this isn't just voice. This is physical. I had never been so sore after an audition in my entire life. Like I had muscles that I didn't know could hurt. I was at home on like a roller and I think I was rolling out like my leg muscles. And I got the call that they wanted me to come back and audition for the normal version, like the next day. And in my mind, I was like, yes, of course. I hung up the phone and I was like, I can't even walk normal right now. Like I have to look, normal tomorrow. So I was like rolling out my muscles, stretching. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And it was like, get in there, fake like everything's fine, leave and go back to the roller. So it opened up the world of acting, just opened up so much more after Resident Evil 7, because these were aspects of acting that I didn't even know existed. And now you see that even movies are using it. You look at Lord of the Rings, Avatar, Planet of the Apes, all of these movies are using motion capture. So something I'm now learning about and studying even more are being used in the vein that I thought like, oh, this is what I'll do because I understand it. Now it's like, oh, now I understand this and it's part of this. Like, this is awesome. So that's the biggest thing is just in this industry, you just can't be closed off. Like you can't be like, oh, I only do this because this leads to that, to that, to that. Like everything intertwines somehow.
Yeah. You never know where you might find like a fame too, like Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's been doing voice work now for what, 30 years?
Oh my God. Like he is Joker. He is Joker.
Yeah.
And I never would have known that, like, until I literally saw him like next to it. And I was
I recently just found out too that Tim Curry actually originally auditioned for that role. And Mark Hamill was like a kind of a second. And then after they heard him come in and play it, he just knocked it out of the park because he did, like you said, you know, he just put everything on the table and just threw it all down. And they were like, yeah, that's awesome.
Like, that's exactly what we envision. Yeah. And you could totally see Tim Curry doing it. Like, you can totally imagine that.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing with acting that I found. It's nice to get the chance, like motion capture. Usually when I audition for things, if they're like, oh, we're looking for possessed, we're looking for zombie, I a lot of times will not even get looked at because they just look at your image. So like Mark Hamill, they're like, oh, that's Luke Skywalker, he's not Joker. Like
it
so easily could have been just pushed off and look at what they would have missed out on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not comparing myself to him whatsoever. Like I hope someday to be in that vein. But it's that idea of, you know, I know when people look at me, they very quickly have an idea of like, oh, this is what she would play. So I've had to make it a point to always go to that beyond point to prove that, you know, I can do the crazy, I can do the ugly, I can do the like quirky and killer and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times it is, you know, I go in for zombie auditions and I put on zombie makeup. Like I do very light, creepy makeup just for the audition. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm like, I don't want them to look at me and automatically think no. Mm-hmm. I want them to hear what I can do. Because, you know, ultimately everybody's getting either you're not even being seen because it's just your voice, or you're being put in makeup anyway. So it's whatever can give you that leg up. So I've always been comfortable going, okay, I have this crazy audition. I'm going to make myself look, no, I don't go all out. I don't put prosthetics on, but I'll do something light to just give me a little advantage to get in the door. So I have headshots. I have so many different looks because it's like, oh, they want crazy. I'm going to send this one. Like they want possessed. That's the picture they're going to get. So you just match everything to the role. And, you know, and again, something that when I first started, I was like, oh, I just need one pretty picture. And now I'm like, I have 50 different types of pictures depending on the role.
And it's got to be difficult too, in the sense for getting noticed and getting out there. I know when we were talking with David previously, Agent 47, he was saying, if you can get 30, if they listen to you for 30 seconds, that's like the highest, like if it's like, they typically it's like 5 seconds and they're like, they've made their decision. And like, I don't see that as really being fair in the sense that it doesn't really show who, like what you can do. But I mean, I guess they're attuned to listening and like hearing, okay, no, that's not going to work, next.
Yeah.
So like it's also a very small window.
Yeah. And there's so much to go through, especially now, because everything's on the internet, so many more submissions can be sent. I mean, if you think it's bad, you know, listening to 5 seconds, at least they listen to your voice. Usually if you submit to something, there's an assistant that is looking on their computer screen of tiny little thumbnails and just scrolling through them and wait until one pops, they'll click on that and have them come into the audition. Not only do you need the headshot that matches, you need ones that stand out that somebody's going to click on, because, you know, out of 100 that are on their screen as these tiny thumbnails, that catches my eye. Let me actually look at it bigger. It's such a crazy industry. And that's another thing why I tell people, if you get in this industry, you got to have a thick skin, but you also have to have an understanding that a lot of times it's not just you. It's not that you're not good enough. It's not that, you know, you did something wrong. A lot of times it's just, you're up against hundreds and thousands of people. You don't know exactly what they're looking for. And maybe it just got passed by this time, you know, or maybe it is, you just didn't fit what they were looking for. You're talented, but it just didn't work. And that's why keeping yourself in classes and keeping yourself on your toes means, okay, maybe I haven't auditioned in a month. I get that one audition, I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm. If you're not working on stuff, when you finally get your auditions, you're like, ah, crap. Like, okay, gotta rest, you know, like, what do I need to do? What do I gotta get ready for? Sometimes you get the audition a day in advance, a few days in advance. Sometimes it's a day of audition. I've had many auditions that literally like, can you be here in an hour? It's like, sure.
It's rush hour, but I'll be there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who have, I haven't done this yet. I probably should, but there are people who have audition like bags in their car. So no matter where they are, if they get the same day audition, they literally open their trunk and it's like different outfits, different makeup, like to fit whatever the audition might be. And that's the life of an actor.
Wow.
He's always got to be ready. Always.
Yeah, you got to want it worse than the next guy, I guess. Wow.
100%.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm not an actor, because I don't have a bag in my car.
You need the bag.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta get on that.
On that off chance that you're going to get a phone call randomly, hey, we got this part.
You'd be perfect for it. I didn't even audition minor. For it.
See, that's the best part. When I got the call for 8... that I was just in, I was like, I don't have to audition. I get to know what it is before everyone else. Like, I felt special.
Yeah. Sort of a big deal.
I was like, some people are like, oh, do they make you audition again? I was like, thank goodness, no.
Yeah, we're going to recast Mia, but can you just give us the audition so then that way we can
compare to
fully decide if we're going to pursue this or not?
We want to know what we're looking for in the person.
That would have been so sad. I definitely would have been a little disheartened if that happened. But sometimes it does. So you gotta be ready. I was just very happy with the phone call. I hung up and just went, woo, okay, we're doing it.
So if there was one franchise that like, if you didn't have to audition for any part, if there was one franchise, be it video games, movies, what would you jump on like in a heartbeat, like, hey, this is available, I'm doing it?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. That's really hard. Probably Peaky Blinders. I love that show so much. I love historical stuff. And there's something about that show, or just shows in that vein. So even Oh gosh, now I'm drawing a blank on the name. I'm drawing such a blank. Yeah, I just, anything dark and historical is kind of.
Are you talking about what is it, Outriders? No.
I can't. I'm drawing such a blank on the name.
Come on, guys, help me out here. I think it's a game set in LA Noir. No, it's a show.
TV show. It had Eva Green in it.
Outliners?
Josh Hartnett. No, not Outliners. This is an older, and it came back, and I'm drawing a blank on it. Oh my gosh.
Josh Hartnett. Was it an Eva Green? Is that Sin City?
No.
Like, something like Sin City? Or
it's in that vein, because it was very dark. It had vampires. It had witches. It had werewolves. I mean, it basically like felt like Resident Evil 8.
That sounds like something like, what is it, Sleep?
Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful. Thank you.
That's the win. thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google. I was like, how am I drawing a blank on this show? It was so amazing, because it reminded me of 8. In a lot of ways. It had all these dark twists and turns and ghosts and vampires and werewolves and just all these things. So anything in that vein, I kind of jump at. I love the idea of stepping away from my reality. And that's why Resident Evil was so fun, like being able to step away completely from this world, this realm, and go somewhere else. So I think that would be really, really cool for sure. If we're going games, probably like, I would still stick with horror. I'd probably go like Silent Hill.
I was gonna say Silent Hill, because there's so much going on right now with this video game company that says they're not doing a Silent Hill game. It's crazy. Like I feel so bad for them in this. Like, they better deliver on this game, because there's so many, like, they tweeted an image that was basically Silent Hill, but it was like just different letters to line up to look like Silent Hill. And then all of a sudden they have to come out and say, we're not Silent Hill. We're not Hideo Kojima. We're this independent studio. And they just shot themselves in the foot with that. So,
yeah.
But Silent Hill, that would actually be a series I'd love to see come back.
Yeah. It just seems, you know, it's very much in that horror vein, which is amazing and so much fun. And I think it's got such it's like Resident Evil in that way. It has so much possibility and so many ways to go, and again with the twists and turns. So I think that one would be really, really cool for sure.
I don't know, I could see you starring in like a remake of Clock Tower. Like, I don't know if you've ever played that series.
Number three,
like number three was the creepiest of all of them. You don't have any weapons, and you're always being chased by this guy that has giant scissors.
Yeah, Clock Tower, or Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
Or you know what, if they were going to make a game with like a mature role with well-developed characters, make a Alan Wake. Did you guys ever play Alan Wake?
I haven't played that, but I know of that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely check out Clock Tower. It's a harder to find game. The last one was on PS2, but it's a third person Resident Evil 7, but you don't have weapons.
But he's got giant pruning shears.
Yeah, and like this guy just like it's almost like Resident Evil, but add Nemesis from number three, where he just appears. Or sorry, Mr. X. Nemesis, Mr. X. He just starts following you.
It's the whole stalker. Like, I didn't even realize this term in certain games. They're like, oh, this is the stalker character. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? You play and you're like, oh yeah, literally stalker.
I get that.
Like, you just keep running away. Just keep running away. That's all it is. Just keep running away. And that's going to be what I'm doing in VR with 7. Like, I'm just going to be like, do I have to fight him? Can I just run away?
Oh, I know. I don't even know how you'd be able to handle like the scene with Jack Baker in the garage there in the little arena where you have the chainsaw fight. Like, how do you do that in VR? I barely survived that without just a controller.
I have a feeling it's going to take me a really long time, but it's going to be very entertaining for everyone on Twitch. So,
no doubt, that took a couple tries.
I was like, it's going to be interesting, especially since like I am not a gamer. I did not grow up with, you know, a lot of this. So I'm having to learn now. And I shot myself in the foot by telling people this is what I was going to start with.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got a bit of a challenge ahead of you, I think.
I'm looking forward to it, though. It's definitely going to be funny. But it's cool because VR is so hard. I'm actually going to be having the other actors from 7 and 8 join me, and we're going to be like switching off. So it'll be like, I play for an hour while they're chatting with the chat, and then they can play for an hour and I'll chat with the chat. So
that's cool.
We'll be able to do some rotation. And that's the other thing that Resident Evil has brought that I know a lot of people have noticed with 7 and 8. All the actors stayed in communication with each other, hanging out. And we actually, a lot of us have become friends. So even outside of the game and the work, we still see each other and work and do these things and hop on each other's, you know, Twitch streams and signings and all these different things. Cool. So it's been a lot of fun. And this is the first job I've had that more has come out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I was very lucky in getting this. I didn't expect much. It was just like a really cool job. And not only did it bring me into this community and realizing how big the Resident Evil community, the gaming community is, and how welcoming they are. And then the other actors, you know, these new friends and all these talented artists that I've been able to work with and now hang out with and do stuff with and practice and work with again. So it's been, I definitely have gotten more out of this job than any other job I've ever had.
Well, congratulations on that, because you're part of a massive franchise. And I mean, there's no shortage of anything, spin-offs, TV shows. I just watched the Netflix show. It was pretty good.
I'm excited.
It's not the series isn't going anywhere. Mind you, a lot of people didn't think that Silent Hill was going to go anywhere, and then it just kind of stopped. But I can't see like zombies will always be like part of society now. I don't see this going anywhere. Like, they've gone back to the European setting, similar to 4, where it's like very not run down feeling, but it's like those small villages that don't look like they have technology. So like it's really where, like, they can only go up. Yeah. Like, and I mean, with the ending of 8, it'll be very interesting to see how
can happen. They were smart. They left it very much so that there's a lot of choices they can make, for sure.
And choosing between two characters at the end of 1 is not one of them.
Yes.
Clayton.
Whatever, I'll do another playthrough where I don't choose the other one, because that turned into a complete flub anyways.
Yes.
It didn't pan out. I have to
go back and choose Mia and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. For better or for worse, till death do us part, right? Yeah, I kind of broke the rules, I guess.
Screwdrivers and chainsaws.
Yeah. Learn your lesson, Clayton.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Well, I think we'll wrap up there. I really appreciate you coming on. Again, it's a lot of fun. Does Mia have anything she wants to say to the three of us, especially Clayton, because he's bad at choices?
It's okay, Clayton. I understand you didn't mean to hurt me, but you shouldn't have done that. Next time, choose Mia! And your life will be so much better.
I want a divorce.
No, we'll wrap it up there, because I know you've got Shark Week that's on, and I don't watch any of that stuff. I watched Jaws in Florida when I was a little kid, and I will never go into the ocean. So
oh my god.
No, I swim in the ocean all the time.
Shark Week changes your mind. I was terrified of sharks, and I started watching Shark Week a long time ago, and I actually have become such an advocate, and just, I love sharks now because of everything I've learned. It's not just the terror. You actually learn a lot. And that's kind of why I'm obsessed with Shark Week now.
our misunderstood friends.
I know. I still want to be in a cage with them, yeah, but I'm good. I'm not as afraid.
So just lastly, you could, if you wanted, for my 53 subscribers, if you want to drop your handles on social, yeah, go for it by all means.
Yeah. So at Katie O'Axe, I use it for everything. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Katie O'Axe. And then I have Cameo, cameo.com/Katie O'Axe. And then Streamly. So if you ever want, I do live signings all the time. So streamly.com/Katie O'Hagan, a little bit easier. But yeah, all that different stuff. You can see different prints, do signings with some of the other actors. And then I will be announcing very soon a couple of conventions in California that I will be a part of. So finally, the world's opening back up. And I am so excited to meet Resident Evil fans in person, because thank you guys, the community. Everything has been amazing. It makes me just want to keep doing this and hoping that I get to do more jobs like this because of the outpouring of love and excitement over everything. You make me excited just as much for it. So I'm very excited to start meeting people in person.
Well, again, if you ever make your way north of the border, we have a convention that we put on in Northern Ontario. So it's been 2 years that we haven't been able to do one. So we're now entering phase three, which we're the last, it's kind of a sad thing. We're the last province to be with the regulations. So we're waiting.
We're the last place in the world.
Yeah, I think we are. So it's pretty bad. We're hoping that we can get something going this year. Yes. Because it's been too long. Like, when we had to cancel last year, that was gut-wrenching. So it's
hard.
And these two are part of it as well. So they know, well, they don't know the pains that we go through for dealing with backlash, but they've been involved quite extensively. So yeah, without
just
them,
get to be part of the fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you don't need the behind the scenes. That if you guys are able to do it, a good chunk of all the RE voice actors are all with the same personal appearance agent. So we're all with Vertical Talent for cons and everything. And they have a lot of us, which is pretty cool. So they group, you know, they love grouping us together to go to things, which is a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys will be able to open back up and we'll be able to go. Cause absolutely, I would love to meet you guys in person.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It'd be great to.
And by then, for some drinks, you'll have time to choose Mia.
Yeah, okay.
So
don't bring any chainsaws, Baker, otherwise.
Perfect. So yeah, we'll end there, and I'll get everything edited, and I'll get you as soon as I get that picture. I'll get your PO box. I'll send that off. Yes. And
Thank you.
I'm hoping to get some more of the cast on at some point. So.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for coming on, and
thank you guys. We'll this is a lot of fun. Care.
Yeah.
Thank you for reaching out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun chatting with you.
Yeah. And enjoy your sharks.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was sweet.
That was good. It was a good time.
Really went well, guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clayton, so choose the right one this time.
You know, I'm not sure why I chose the other character. I think it was because you haven't played the game, eh?
She's
back and forth. Like, she changes into this demon thing, and I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go through that because I know I'm going to be trying to sneak up on something and then all of a sudden I'm going to get shanked in the back or something, you know? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll just leave her here and I'll take the other one with me. But it does not pan. It doesn't work out well for your character when you do that. So learn my lesson. Stick by your wife.
Or your video game wife.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, at least we get a quotable line out of each one of these here.
Yeah, well, that's what I go for. Like, so we got the two there with the one that I'll send off to Robin, and what I'll do is I'll put the video like similar to David. I'll put the blurb where she's calling Clayton out at the beginning of the video as well. So, but it's still recording. So, cause I thought I hit stop recording, but it's not an issue. So it's Taco Mondays. So my house smells like steak right now. Steak tacos.
Yeah. I gotta go get my haircut. So
do I.
Little on the sides.
Yeah. Like the Homer Simpson style, just the three strands.
So that'll be soon enough.
I'll have that edited up and send that all out, that off to you guys and whatnot. So
awesome.
Alrighty.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. That was a good one. See you guys later.
All right. Take care.